I'd like to read two passages tonight. I'm just going to read the first one, first of all, and that's in 2 Peter chapter 3. That's page 1477. Page 1477 in these Bibles. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1. 2 Peter 3 verse 1. This, a second letter, beloved, I already write to you, in which I stir up, in the way of putting you in remembrance, your pure mind, to be mindful of the words spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of the Lord and Saviour by your apostles, knowing this first, that there shall come at the close of the days mockers with mocking, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For from the time the fathers fell asleep, all things remain thus from the beginning of the creation. For this is hidden from them through their own willfulness, that heavens were of old, and an earth having its subsistence out of water and in water, by the word of God, through which waters the then world, deluged with water, perished. But the present heavens and the earth by his word are laid up in store, kept for fire, unto a day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But let not this one thing be hidden from you, beloved, that one day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and as a thousand years as one day. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some account of delay, but is long suffering towards you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a rushing noise, and the elements burning with heat shall be dissolved, and the earth and the works in it shall be burnt up. All these things being to be dissolved, what ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements burning with heat shall melt. But according to his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. This passage I chose because it spoke to me very powerfully when we had it on Friday night. Josh gave us an excellent talk on Friday evening at the Friday Club about the reminder of the coming of the Lord. And it made me think once more of the power of that event. The power of that coming event that is very, very soon coming. There are so many signs. We were talking earlier, the number of signs that there are in the world today that point towards the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord for his saints and then with his saints. But the fact that the gospel is no longer going to go out once the Lord has come for his people. What an urgency there is therefore in the gospel. And Peter is showing to us in this passage, he's linking it back to the flood. We go right back to Genesis in this passage, and Peter is using the power of the scriptures right back. The scriptures are all one. It's all one story. It's all one truth. And Peter refers back to the flood. But just before that, I want to just focus on what we see at the end of the days. Notice that. Well, verse 1, Peter wants us to be stirred up. He wants us to be made alive, made awake, to be woken up. Many people today are asleep. Non-Christians are asleep and dead spiritually. But we need to be woken up. We need to be stirred up into action, stirred into having our eyes opened, to see what is happening in today's world, to see how close we are to the end, how urgent the gospel is. In a sense, the gospel gets more urgent every day. But we are to be stirred up. We are to have a pure mind, because Peter reminds us that the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Saviour, both the prophets and the Lord, have warned us of the future coming day. People are saying, where is the promise of his coming? People are saying, if God is such a good God, why would he allow bad things to happen in the world? If God is such a good God, why doesn't he step in and do something? God has already stepped in and done something, which is the message of the gospel. I'll come on to that in a moment. But there are many people that mock God today. It says, mockers with mocking, walking according to their own lusts. In other words, doing exactly what they want. That your lust is what drives you, the spiritual deadness inside you. The lust is the work of the flesh, our sinful nature, that we decide what we want to do for our carnal desires, the desires that we want that are against God's. Walking according to their own lusts. In other words, I'll run my life just as I want to run it, and I'm not going to listen to anything that God says. How evident that is around us, what a picture that is of the world around us. Where is the promise of his coming? The message of the gospel is a message of warning. There is a promise of his coming. He truly is coming very soon, dear friends. How wonderful to be ready for when he comes. We were struck on Friday night about the power of that event when he actually comes. What it will actually be when the Lord Jesus comes for his own. But he goes back to Genesis, doesn't he? Notice that in verses 5 and 6, he talks about the flood. Noah preached, Noah warned people that a flood was coming. He started to build the ark. What a work it was to build the ark, plank by plank, putting the ark together, exactly as God had commanded. And yet there came a day when Noah and the animals were in the ark and Noah's family, and the door was shut. That was it. No more chance. All of those outside of the ark that had not come in and not listened to Noah's warnings were too late. How terrible it would have been to be in the flood. The wickedness that is described in Genesis 6 has a lot of parallels to today, if you read it very carefully. Very interesting how what the state of the world that there was at that time versus what is happening in the world today. Nothing is new in the Bible. God knows the end from the beginning. He's seen all of the wickedness of man before. Man tries again, similar wickedness, and it was too late. God brought in that judgment across the whole earth. Genesis is up to date, thousands of years old and yet up to date. There was a time when Noah went into the ark and God closed the door. That will happen again. The gospel will the message of the gospel will no longer go out. There will no longer be any chance for anyone else to be saved. That's why the gospel is urgent, dear friends. But Peter then goes on to tell us that it's not a flood this time that's going to happen. It's going to be fire and a day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men in verse 7. God is a righteous and holy God. And he eventually will bring in judgment that's needed on this earth. Because he's perfect and holy, and every sin, every wickedness that we've done, that everyone has done, is an offence to God. It's offended God. Because of his perfect holy nature, he cannot ignore sin. Often it looks like sin goes unpunished, doesn't it? Sometimes criminals get away, or they do their sentence and then doesn't seem to be a very long sentence, and then they're out of jail again. How solemn it is. We see the events in the news and how terrible wickedness is done on the earth in many different ways. Not just by individuals, but by governments and organisations. But there is going to be a day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. The Lord does not delay his promise, but is long-suffering towards you, in verse 9, not willing that any should perish. That is the love of God, dear friends. He does not want anyone listening to this message to perish. He doesn't want anyone on the earth to perish. How wonderful that is, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to die on the cross. We had a reminder of that in the Easter story at Sunday school this afternoon. The reminder of the awful cost of our salvation. The Lord of life was crucified. The Lord of glory was nailed to the cross. And as we sung in the hymn, O holy Saviour, thou didst die. and for us in the grave didst lie. Nothing worthy of death in him, was what Pilate said. There was nothing deserving of death in him. He deserved nothing but praise and adoration. He deserved nothing but worship from his creature. And yet he died the death that we deserve to die. What a wonderful story. What love, dear friends, brought him from the height of heaven. And God does not want any to perish. He's not willing that any should perish. God's patience is so great. Long-suffering is patience, isn't it? Sometimes our patience runs out. God waits in grace. He waits and waits and waits. And yet he has to bring in judgment. How serious it is to ignore God's appeal in love. God does not want you to perish. He wants you to be saved. And how are we saved? We're saved by coming to repentance. Notice repentance at the end of verse 9. Repentance is recognising that we are sinners. Recognising that we've offended a holy God. And put out to say sorry to God for the things that we've done. And turn away from our sin. And to turn round. And to put our faith and trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. The death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus are the foundation for our hope. We told the Sunday school children this afternoon, it's the story at the centre of the Bible. It's the most important story in the Bible. That's the foundation of our hope. Why can God forgive guilty sinners? Because of what the Lord Jesus has done. That mighty, mighty work that no one else could do. He is our hope. He is our living hope, as we often sing. What a beautiful living hope that is. A hope in him. A man who has defeated death. How has he done it? He's done it by going into death himself. By bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. And rising again. Mary of Magdala had the wonderful privilege of being the first person to meet Jesus alive out of death. The tomb is empty. The empty tomb is the power of Christianity. The empty tomb, the resurrection, is the power of Jesus. The power of what he has done. The power to change lives. The power to transform our lives. To transform and give us a hope for the future. A hope beyond the grave. It says at the end of the hymn we sung, O Lord, eternally to praise. We will praise him eternally. Every true Christian will praise him eternally. And we will be taken out of this world. But the warning in verse 10 is the day of the Lord will come as a thief. We were reminded of that. A thief comes unexpected. Nobody is waiting for a thief to come. He comes just at the moment when you don't expect. We had a touch of that recently. Thieves come and take away what belongs to you. On offer tonight, dear friends, is something that you cannot have stolen. That is eternal life. Eternal life is on offer. To live forever with Christ, with God, in heaven. Eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the greatness of the offer in the preaching tonight. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief and the heavens will pass away. That's why, dear friends, every true born-again Christian has a hope. A hope in heaven. A hope which no one can touch. A hope which cannot be taken from us because it's a heavenly hope. We will be taken out of this world. So it says that the earth will melt, the heavens will be on fire in verse 12, and the elements burning with heat shall melt. But the promise for the Christian, dear friends, is verse 13, we, according to his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. We're not told very much about that in the Bible. But we do know that the new creation is going to be far, far better than the creation that we have here. We know that it's going to be far better. God always does something better the next time. He was very pleased with the creation when he created it in chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis. He saw that it was good. God was very, very pleased with the creation that he had brought in. He was pleased with man. He saw it was very good until sin came in and ruined it. When God remakes and God makes the new creation, it's going to be far better in every way. What a wonderful thing to look forward to. And as a result, in verse 11, we are to be in holy conversation and godliness. That means living a life that's pleasing to him as Christians. But waiting for and hastening the day, that means that Christians who long for the coming of the Lord hasten the day in that sense, and they're a witness to him in a world that's quickly going on to judgment. But what an encouragement this passage is to reach out with the good news to others. How much we long for others to hear the message of the gospel. How vital it is that the gospel is preached. And I wanted to just also briefly read in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks in a great deal of detail about the coming of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Page 1387. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. But we shall be changed. For this corruptible must needs put on incorruptibility, and this mortal put on immortality. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the word written, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is thy sting? Where, O death, thy victory? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin the law. But thanks to God who gives us the victory by our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, my beloved brethren, be firm, immovable, abounding always in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. All of this, dear friends, is only for believers. That's why it's important for us to be saved. It's only those who have repented of their sins and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus' work at Calvary's cross that will come into the blessing. The blessing of this passage, which I can't begin to fully explain. It's so deep. There's so much power in this. It's a mystery. It's something that we can't fully understand. What a beautiful passage this is. We shall not all fall asleep. When it says fall asleep, it means dying physically. As we know from the passage, Jesus often, in the Bible, sometimes speaks of being asleep as like dying. Jesus said, didn't he, on at least one occasion, she is not died, she has not died but sleeps. And he said the same about Lazarus. Not every believer will fall asleep in Jesus. Not every believer will die. Some believers will be alive on the earth when Jesus comes. But we shall all be changed in an instant. We will be given new heavenly bodies. New bodies to live in the new creation. These bodies aren't capable of living in the new creation. It's so much greater. So much more amazing. But there will be a last trumpet. I was thinking about that. The trumpet shall sound. What a blessing to be part of those who will hear the trumpet sound. How wonderful to hear that trumpet sound. The gospel is preached so that you might hear the word of the Lord tonight speaking to you, so that we might be ready to hear the last trumpet. That is the most important thing, dear friends. That's the most important thing that you need to address tonight. Are you ready to hear the last trumpet? Do you know that when it sounds, you will hear? Have you heard the voice of the Lord speaking to you in love? Speaking to you about your need of a saviour. speaking to you about your need of repentance and being washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Jesus has already raised the dead, and he will do it again. He will do it again for every believer. And we shall be changed. So our corruptible bodies, that means our bodies that are subject to death, will put on immortality, that means living forever. And then there will be the word written, death has been swallowed up in victory. That, dear friends, is the greatness of the hope that lies before the Christian. And I think that passage is from Isaiah, yes, that's a quote from Isaiah 25 verse 8. Isaiah, all those hundreds of years before Jesus, wrote, death has been swallowed up in victory. And that's a prophecy that it hasn't yet been fulfilled. It's still waiting. Where, O death, is thy sting? Where, O death, is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. That's the reason death is in the world, because of sin. And the power of sin, the law. We've all broken the law, and yet God, thanks to God who gives us the victory by our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in him as your Lord and Saviour? If you have and you've repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in him, you have the victory through him. And what is the result to be in us? The result is to be that we are firm, immovable, abounding always in the work of the Lord. That means whatever the work the Lord gives us to do, we are to carry on doing it until he comes. Preaching the gospel, reaching out to others, how important that is, what a challenge that is. Because we are, no doubt, in the last days. We've said recently, haven't we? We've seen recently how many, many signs there are of the coming one world government and the wickedness of the Antichrist and the beast, the mark of the beast. The love of many shall grow cold. Many, many signs. The Bible has many of them. These are more and more signs, week by week, that the coming of the Lord is very near. That makes the message of the gospel very urgent. So we are to be firm, immovable, abounding always in the work of the Lord. May we be encouraged and strengthened to be like that until he comes, for his name's sake.